to hear it because we hear it so well. So today's going to be a little bit different in that it's going to be more of a reflection on peace. We begin with a very much quoted passage from Isaiah that we hear a lot at Christmas. Isaiah 9. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He will reign of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is the word of the Lord. So, have you thought about what peace actually looks like? Currently, there are 57 countries in the world in conflict. 1.5 billion people who live in countries affected by violence and insecurity. That's a whole lot of people. So what does peace look like in our world? I find it very difficult to even imagine. Really. When we say peace on earth. So we do have some ideas. And the ideas are strong enough that we create symbols of peace. Well, what are symbols? And how are they different from signs? For example, we have stop signs and exit signs. But we don't call them symbols. Why is that? For one thing, signs are only meaningful when they correspond or connect with reality. So, for example, if that exit sign was actually over a closet door, then it wouldn't mean anything. The symbols are different. They represent a different reality. And they have different layers of meaning, which makes them all the more powerful. I thought, wouldn't it be interesting to look at different peace signs that we see around the world? Well, the one that we're most familiar with, probably, in our Christian heritage, is the dove and the olive branch. And they come from two significant stories in the Bible. The first one is, does anyone know what the Old Testament story is? Noah's Ark, that's right. So the story is, there's a big flood, Noah's on the ark with all the animals and his family. They've been waiting for a long time for the waters to come down. He sends out a raven. The raven flies back and forth and it returns. And then another few days, he sends out a dove. And the dove flies back and forth the first time it comes back. On the second flight, the dove goes out again, and after a little while, it comes back with an olive leaf. And that was the first sign that the waters were coming down and there was some kind of land available. Now, does anybody else know the second story with the dove in the New Testament? Yeah, Jesus' baptism. So later on, Christians made the connection between salvation through baptism and the waters of the flood. And so they read into the Noah story the olive branch, because there's a tradition of the olive branch also representing peace. And actually, this that I'm wearing is from Jerusalem, and it's an olive branch. And so even there, the symbol of peace is an olive branch. So they became, the olive branch became the Christian symbol of peace between humanity and God. I don't know if any of you recognize this picture, but this was done by Picasso. So the dove was made famous again, but more popularly around the world, in 1949, when Picasso drew, and I'm going to say this wrong, La Colombe, the dove. And this was chosen for a poster commemorating the peace conference in Paris. And of course, you probably recognize this one, the peace symbol. So this was done by a British artist, Gerald Holcomb, in 1958. And it's actually designed for the Direct Action Committee Against Nuclear War. Now, I actually didn't know, but as I researched this, the symbol, the design has a circle with lines in it, and those lines represent the simplified position of two sycamore letters. So this is a system of using flags to send information at great distances. So as you can see, the arms down represent N, and the arms up represent D. And the ND represents nuclear disarmament. And so this symbol went worldwide and became very, very popular as a sign for peace. You might not be so familiar with this one. This is the peace crane. And this comes from Japan. Now, the story behind this is also quite interesting. There's a story about a little girl named Sadako Sasaki, and she was born in 1943. She was 2 years old when the bomb hit Hiroshima. And her village was quite close to where it detonated. Later, Sadako developed leukemia, as many children there did. And so, as she grew older, she started making paper cranes. And this comes out of a story, a Japanese folklore tale, that when you make 1,000 paper cranes, a wish would be granted. So, I think there's conflicting stories of whether or not she achieved 1,000 cranes, but the story became popularized, and to this day, the paper crane and the making of cranes symbolized peace. She eventually died at the age of 12. The V sign was used to represent victory during the Second World War. And it was used again in protest against the Vietnam War in the 1960s. Of course, that's been adopted for a sign of peace. And then this comes from Italy. This is called the peace flag, and it was first used in 1961 in a peace march. It was more recently used in 2003 in the protest against the war in Iraq, where over 1 million flags were hung from balconies all around Italy. And all those different colors actually represent something different. But it's been confused with another flag, but that is significant. And this flag also comes out of the story of Noah and the Ark, when God created a rainbow after the flood. So all those previous images are not peace in themselves, but they represent something. They symbolize the idea of peace. And I'm wondering, do people recognize this last symbol? Ben? Shalom. The Hebrew characters for shalom. And I saw this a lot in Jerusalem, all over the place. Now, shalom can have many different meanings. It can mean safety, welfare, prosperity. It can mean quiet and tranquility, contentment. It can also mean friendship, in terms of human relationships, and the relationship with God. And it also means peace from war. The main meaning or idea in shalom is completeness or wholeness. And that's a little different take on shalom. There is no division in true shalom. No brokenness, no barriers, no walls, no separation. So when we say peace to each other, shalom to one another, not only are we saying friendship, tranquility, and happiness, but also we're saying there is nothing separating between us. We have shalom. So what does it mean when we call Jesus the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Shalom? Going back to Ephesians, Paul is writing to a group of non-Jewish Christians, or Gentiles. We heard earlier in reading this. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope, without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you, who once were far away, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who are near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. So do you know that we participate in a peace symbol every week? And this is the sacrament, the communion, the Eucharist that we partake in. Now a sacrament is a symbolic action. It's a special kind of symbol. Not just something you see, but something you do. It's a symbol that you cannot do alone, but with other people that share in the meaning of that symbol. When we participate in a symbol, we participate in what it means. By taking communion, we are symbolizing how Christ has destroyed the barriers and walls of hostility between us. And how he has destroyed the walls of hostility between us and God. We are symbolizing shalom with God and each other. So when we imagine peace on earth, we envision a place there are no more divisions amongst us. Quoting from an old Chinese philosopher, ancient Chinese philosopher, in the 6th century BC. Lao Tzu said, if there is to be peace in the world, there must be peace in the nations. If there is to be peace in the nations, there must be peace in the cities. If there is to be peace in the cities, there must be peace between neighbors. If there is to be peace between neighbors, there must be peace in the home. If there is to be peace in the home, there must be peace in the heart. Would you pray with me? God of peace, would you come to us at this time, this busy season, and calm our hearts enough to seek peace with you. God of peace, will you help us to reflect on the divisions that we see around us and in us? May you help us desire peace. And may we feel discontent where we do see barriers and hostility, when we see people being discriminated because of a different color, different gender, different class, different jobs, different mobility. Lord, help us to see that we are all created in your image. Help us to seek peace with one another. We are desperate for you, God. We hunger for your peace. So would you do the work that only you can do? Come, Lord Jesus. Come be our Prince of Peace. Amen.